Certainly, we've had an exhilarating and meaningful song service this morning. We appreciate Brother Eric Prowl in doing a fine job for us as we have engaged in our worship service on this morning. It is always a delight for God's children to be privileged to assemble together to worship God. And we should be impressed by the realness of God. And we should be impressed by the love of God. We can appreciate the love of God more because we recognize that his love is grounded in and emanates from his reality. All of us are convinced, I am convinced, that God is real. And I think all of us are likewise convinced that his love for us is like pure gold. As a matter of fact, it transcends the value of pure gold many times over, but that paints a word picture to help us try to express and put in words how highly we regard the love of God. Not only do we value God's love, but we also value the love that we have for him and the love that we have for each other. And it is a delight, it is a privilege that we are allowed to come together as the community of the saved and express our adoration, our reverence, our love for the great God to whom we sing and who is the object of our worship. It was emphasized in this morning's lesson that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We always want to keep in mind that our worship is God-focused. It must have the right aim. It is directed toward God. It must have the right attitude. It is to be done with our spirits fully engaged. And it must have the right authority. It must be done in keeping with God's word. That is, it must be done in harmony with the truth of God. So right aim, right attitude, right authority in order for our worship to be acceptable to him. We appreciate the scripture lesson by Brother Motley and the prayer led by Brother Arthur Davis. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read from Job chapter 37, verses 21 through 24 was read. And we want to call your attention there too. And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Fair weather cometh out of the north. With God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him. He is excellent in power. and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. I'd like to read a few verses that precede the verses we just read. Look at chapter 36 and we'd like to look at verse 34 and some additional verses. Chapter 36, verse 34 and some additional verses. Remember that thou magnify his work which men behold. That's chapter 36, starting with verse 34, or 24. 24. Did I say 34? I'm glad y'all are paying attention. Yeah, verse 24. I'm looking directly at verse 24. 34 kicked into my mind. Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. Every man may see it. Man may behold it afar off. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof. In verse 28, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. Also, can any understand the spreadings of the clouds or the noise of his tabernacle? Verse 32, with clouds he covereth the light and commandeth it not to shine. By the cloud that cometh betwixt. Notice verse number 14 of chapter 37. Verse number 14 of chapter 37. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Verse 16, thus thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge. Verse 19, teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. And then once more, verse 21, and now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. I want to talk to you this morning concerning observations of the clouds. Just as clouds are often part of the sky, so clouds are often part of our lives. None will have a cloudless life. We see in the context of our lesson the darkness of clouds are spoken of. The dividends of clouds are also referenced. And the dislodgement or the dispersal of clouds is also a vital part of this text. When we think about the clouds, men see not the bright light which is in the clouds. Clouds prevent the sun from shining on us. Clouds can make a day very dark. Clouds in our lives often seem very dark and gloomy. And our heart and mind often become very discouraged when troubles and trials cloud up our lives. When the skies of our life are cloud covered, it is very easy for us to assume or falsely conclude that the sunshine will never again appear. We think we will never be happy again. We think we will never recover our joy. We can falsely conclude that all of our good times are now relegated to the past and are part of the dusty pages of the history of our lives. We think our future is doomed to gloominess the rest of our days. But we need not view clouds from a dark and negative perspective. We must come to recognize and appreciate the value of the clouds, the dividends of the clouds. Clouds are not evil. Clouds do not need to be regarded as negative. Men, however, a lot of times cannot see the bright light which is in the clouds. The bright light here speaks symbolically of the blessing of clouds. If we do not have clouds with their rain and coolness, the earth would be a barren wasteland. If we did not have clouds in our lives would be unfruitful and barren of usefulness and shriveled and dried up in character. Just as the earth needs clouds to be productive, so we humans, we also need clouds to be productive. There is indeed a bright light of blessing in the clouds of our lives. Our troubles and trials can do much for our faith and character, which unbroken sunshine can never do. Do not curse the clouds, for the clouds are great blessings in our lives. And one cogent truth we should always keep in mind, that clouds don't last always. The wind passeth and cleanseth them. This is figurative language describing the removal of the clouds from the skies of our lives. Clouds are not forever. Our troubles and trials will not last forever. God will remove the clouds as he does in our earthly skies when the wind takes them away. When clouds come, focus on the blessing they bring. And remember, they are not permanent. The sun is still above the clouds, and the sun is still shining. And sooner or later, you will witness the removal of the clouds. There's a very compelling narrative that we read of in Acts chapter 27, which describes the great storm that Paul and his companions were caught up in on their way to Rome. And when we turn to Acts chapter 27, and we'll just start reading at verse number 18 through 25. Now, they are in the midst of a terrible tempest. And whenever a terrible storm occurs, it always happens under treacherous and dangerous clouds. Whenever you get caught up in a storm, you can be sure that there are clouds overhead. And Dr. Luke, the divine historian, he narrates what was going on. Verse number 18, he said, "And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lighted the ship." They figured that their chances of survival, their chances of being saved, would be enhanced by lighting the ship, by throwing out some of those things that were on the ship. And as I pass through, let's suggest to you from a spiritual perspective that sometimes in life, when we are going through storms and when clouds hang heavily overhead, it is meaningful and needful that we get rid of some of the unnecessary cargo that is in our lives. There are some things that we need to throw overboard as we get caught up in the storms of life, as we operate under the dark clouds in our lives. Verse number 19 says, "And the third day we cast out our own hands, with our own hands, the tackling of the ship." Now, verse 20 clearly indicates that there were dark clouds in the sky. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. When the sun by day is not visible for many days, when the stars are not visible in the nighttime for many days, that's a sign that you are operating under cloudy conditions. And it says, "No small tempest lay on us." And it says furthermore that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You know, we got kind of disturbed and experienced cabin fever. Some people went stir crazy just for the few days the other week when we couldn't get out because of the snow and ice, just for a few days. And this past week, maybe just for one day, a lot of folks got restless because of the ice storm that had come in and covered a large part of our geographical area. But our experience in the ice and snowstorm pales in comparison to the terrible predicament that Paul and his companions found themselves in out in the middle of the sea. Notice verse 21. The Bible says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete. They didn't pay Paul any attention. And you could have gained this harm and loss. And that's the way it is sometimes in our lives. If we will listen, if we will take advice from those who are wise and who have a good relationship with God, we could avoid a lot of the harm that comes to us in life as we get caught up in the various storms. We can avoid a lot of the losses that we experience in life by virtue of our storms. See, sometimes we experience unnecessary storms. So Paul just reminds them, he said, I warn you, sirs, and look how respectful he is. You know, he says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Young people, I don't want it to be said years down the road that your parents say to you, honey, you could have avoided all of this if you had just hearkened unto me. Son, you could have avoided this pain. You could have avoided this loss. You could have avoided this heartache. You could have avoided this, setback if you had only listened unto me. And God says to us, we can avoid so many trials and so many problems and so many hurts and so many pains and so much aggravation, so much anxiety, so much tension in our lives if we will hearken to the voice of the Lord. But Paul didn't belabor that point. He goes ahead. And in verse number 26, he says, and this is the attitude that we should have toward each other. This is the attitudes we should have toward spiritual leaders, the attitudes we should have toward parents. Sometimes people get locked in a mode of condemnation, and they never move past that. And children can hear parents harping and harping about the mistakes they have made and going on and on and on and on. But Paul didn't lock himself down in that particular position. He says, and now, see, what's past is past. What's gone is gone. And we relegate that to the dusty pages of history, but we need to move on from that which is gone. He says, I exhort you, and I love this, I exhort you to be of good cheer. There's good reason, Paul says, to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, sometimes we suffer some losses as a consequence of bad decisions, as a consequence of bad choices. But you can be saved and you can be healed. You can be restored. He says, I exhort you to be of good cheer. You made a bad choice back there. You made a bad decision to come on out here. You wouldn't listen to me. But now be of good cheer. All is not lost. There shall be no loss of any man's life, but the ship is not going to survive. Would you rather you survive than the ship survive? And verse 23, and we're talking about dealing with the clouds of life. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. What a VIP on the love boat, we could call it. Paul was a most valuable person, a most important person because of his relationship with God. And by virtue of his relationship with God, by virtue of his presence on the ship, everybody would have been lost. I believe that. I believe they would have lost basically all of the lives. But Paul, he was a spiritual and a physical life preserver on the ship, on the love boat, because of the love relationship Paul sustained with the great God of glory. You know, there are some folks who are going to be saved eternally by virtue of their connection and their close ties with you. And we should strive to emulate Paul and to exemplify his same spirit as we navigate the dangerous and treacherous waters of life's tempestuous sea. He says, "Wherefore, sirs," and this is the key to living life to the full despite its clouds and despite its storms. He says, "Wherefore, sirs," in verse 25, "be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." As long as we have that spirit, as long as we exemplify that attitude, that whatever God has promised us, whatever God has reassured us of, it shall be as it was told me. I believe God that it shall be as it was told me. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. I believe God that that is what shall be because that's what he told me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Despite the clouds of life, despite the storms of life, I believe God that it shall be even as he told me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So wherefore, brothers and sisters, no matter what clouds hang low in your life, believe God that his promises shall be even as it was told us. That should reassure us. When storm clouds rise darkly and gloomily in our skies, we will not be disturbed. We will not be perturbed, because we believe God that it shall be even as it was told us. No matter what kind of clouds are hanging in your sky, clouds of disappointment, clouds of defeat, clouds of loss, clouds of illness, clouds of sadness, clouds of guilt, clouds of shame, clouds of depression, clouds of setbacks. We should always believe God that it shall be even as it was told us. Some of the best help that we can secure to help us weather the storms of life and continue to function despite the clouds in our skies comes from a cloud. Yeah, comes from in the presence of a cloud. Consider with me on the Mount of Transfiguration, Acts chapter 17, in verse number 5, while Peter was talking, he said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Therefore, let us build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias." Now, I want you to observe the advice that is given from a cloud, not a dark cloud, not a cloud of gloom, not a cloud of depression, not a cloud of blackness, not a cloud of defeat, but out of a bright cloud. Notice what the Bible says, Matthew 17, 5. While he yet spake, Peter was talking. Peter was making a motion. But while in the process of making it, he was divinely overruled. Because the Bible says, while he yet spake, a bright cloud, not a dark cloud, but a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Live in such a way that God can say of you, "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased." If you live in a manner that is consistent with the word of the Lord, you can weather the storms of life successfully. You can operate despite the dark clouds that hang low in your life, because of the message which came from the bright cloud on the Mount of Transfiguration. He says tersely, cogently, concisely, with reference to his son, "Hear ye him." As long as you listen to the voice of the Lord, as long as your ears are attentive to his message of preservation, to his message of provision, to his message of protection, you don't worry about the clouds. You don't worry about the storms of life. If you'll just listen to the word of the Lord and again believe the Lord, that it shall be as it was told you. One other passage I want to call your attention to in this regard, Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. It is significant how much clouds are mentioned in sacred literature. This was in Christ's post-resurrection glory. This was following Christ giving final instructions to his disciples. This is when Christ was preparing to leave those disciples of his to go back to glory. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Notice the Bible says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud, notice now, a cloud received him out of their sight. The one who left with a cloud that received him out of the sight of the disciples, he is the one that can help you operate successfully, even as low clouds of darkness and gloom might hang in the skies of our lives. Notice verses 10 and 11. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men, which were actually angels, stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not another Jesus, not a different Jesus, not an additional Jesus, but the same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." You know what should reassure us in the storms of life, under the clouds of life that hang in our skies? What should help us to survive and even thrive under these austere and dangerous and treacherous conditions and circumstances is the clear realization that the same Jesus who was taken up from the disciples is going to one day come back. That same Jesus who was taken up with the cloud is one day going to come back. That should strengthen and bolster our hope as people of the Lord. But not only that, one final passage, and the lesson will be yours. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Jesus who went away on a cloud, Jesus is coming back on a cloud, that same Jesus. He is coming to judge the wicked, but he's coming to justify the righteous. He's coming to condemn the sinner, but he's coming to reward the righteous. And with that recognition, it should strengthen us. It should fortify us and help us to live a positive, meaningful, optimistic, hopeful life despite our problems, trials, troubles, difficulties, tribulations, challenges, tensions, anxieties, illnesses, depressions. No matter what happens to us, we can have the assurance that Jesus is coming back for us. The same Jesus that the disciples saw go up on a cloud, he's coming back on a cloud. And we are between the two goings and comings. And no matter what clouds we find in our own lives, in the skies of our personal lives, we can have the assurance that Jesus